Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Listen to this. Doubt comes from not hearing the word of God. Faith rises when you and I spend quality time in the word. And when we don't, doubt rises. And the ultimate goal of doubt is to get you trapped into unbelief. Our text this morning is John 8, 12. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8 and verse 12. Today's subtitle, we're in a new series entitled Be Revival. Last week I said it's not about you and I crying out and saying, Lord, send revival. It's about you and I crying out and saying, Lord, revive me. This is not a time to be a functional Christian. This can't be business as usual. We don't need to be checking any boxes. It's time that we let the fire flow through us. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live lives that honor Him, to live lives that glorify Him. We're strengthened by unity to spread the light and to push back the darkness. And that's what we're going to see in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Family, whatever you do, make a decision right now. Don't let adversity alter your identity. I'm going to say that again. Don't let adversity alter your identity. What the enemy of your soul wants to do is to take you through something so you forget who you are. He wants to take you through something for the purpose of stealing your identity. That's what he's up to. Don't let that happen. Let's pray. Father, you are holy. And we honor you. We thank you for the opportunity to bask in your presence. We thank you for your manifested glory. We're grateful for this moment in time. And I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Let divine wisdom flow like never before. Give us understanding and insight. Give us revelation and truth. Lead us by your Spirit. Help us to walk in the authority that you died to give us. Open up your word to us this morning. For those who are here, those who will be watching, and those who are watching now, show us how to establish your kingdom. Show us our role in this end time harvest. I pray for a supernatural shift right now. That we abandon the next to-do list. We abandon what we're doing after this and we lock in, lean in, and press in to you right now. Let there be an urgent desire to grab what you have. Let the pool of the anointing be fresh and powerful this morning. Lord, I offer myself up to be a vessel. Holy Spirit, use me as you see fit. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth. Use me, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in the name of Jesus. So be it. Family, what you expect to get out of today is what you'll get out of today. According to your faith, be it unto you. What we've been through never disqualifies us for God's unconditional love. Whatever you do, don't let the enemy begin to chip away at your true identity. Don't let him begin to shift your mindset according to the new you. It's the new you that taps into God's plans, God's place. The devil's ultimate scheme is to get you and I looking at the past, what we did, what we said, who we were. Stay true to the new you. Look at your neighbor and say, stay true to the new you. Yeah, it's just on my heart, so heavy. Family, whatever you do, let Jesus get the full reward for what he did for you. Let him receive glory through you, his child, his follower. Let him use us to light up the world. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What an amazing promise. When you and I choose to follow him, we begin to light up the world wherever we go. And that's what he's after. When you and I stay true to the new us, we shine. You light up the world and push back the darkness. Now here's the flip side of that, family. Not following Jesus ensures that we will lose our identity and walk in darkness. Your identity is the concept that you develop about yourself, and it evolves over time. There are two key things that contribute to your identity. The first one is your environment, and the second one is your choices. Your identity will shape and influence your belief system. And this is so vital because you and I are not able to live or function above our belief system. Our belief system will lock us in to a certain place. In order for you and I to go beyond our belief system, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to expand our capacity. Allow him to expand our capacity to believe and to be free from any and everything that the enemy tries. God's heart is for you and I to be completely free. We have to participate in that because we are free will agents. And he'll never force anything on us. Past environments and choices up to this point has shaped you into who you are today. There's a battle going on in the spirit realm for your mind and ultimately for your heart. Your heart is the command center for your life. Proverbs talks about the issues of life that flow out of us, flow out of our heart. Every issue, everything that springs up in our lives comes out of our heart. Receive your real identity. What do we need to do? What do we need to do to make sure we are giving Jesus the full reward for the blood that was shed on our behalf? We need to receive our real identity. Come with me to Proverbs 4. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 4. We'll look at verse 20. Actually, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 first. What is the new you? Before we go over to what we need to do, the new you is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone, is there anyone in here that doesn't qualify? This is talking to all of us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old stuff that the enemy wants to drag up has passed away. Don't go digging up no past. Don't go digging up old feelings. Behold, all things have become new. The second thing we need to know and understand about our true selves is we have to receive it and walk in it. It's not enough to understand who we are. We have to walk out who we are. Proverbs 4, 10 and 12. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. It's the New King James. It says, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Man, what an amazing promise. Listen to me. Take heed to what I'm saying, and your years will be many. Verse 11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Man, what a powerful promise. And we can trust God. We can trust his holy written word. We can trust what he says, even when it doesn't feel like it's working. You know, feelings are always subject to change. Facts are subject to change. You know what remains forever? Truth. So it makes sense for you and I to hold fast to the truth of the word of God. Word life. Church, when we grab hold of the word and we have life that comes from the Holy Spirit, there is no devil in hell that can come against what God is doing. That's your true identity. That's who you are. That's the true you. You have power. You have authority. Hear this. If you walk in it. If you allow the word to lead you over your opinion, over your feeling. You know, there's no evidence of the supernatural in your life if what you're doing, you can do on your own. If you don't find moments where you're saying, man, look at God. Like, man, could you ever imagine? There's a good chance that you're doing it on your own. We don't want to live that way. True or not true? Man, let God do it. Because I promise you what he's doing is over and above anything that you can think or imagine. It is more than you could ever put together in your own mind. I like this saying, God can do you better than you. Tell that to your neighbor. Tell that to your neighbor. God can do you better than you. Let's drop down to verse 20. We're still in Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 20. We'll look at 20 through 23. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them. Listen to that intentionality. That is you and I doing something about the word we hear. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Have you ever noticed somebody who's been in the Word and been in the Word for years, and you look at them and they're just full of life? And then you find somebody that they're the same age, they've had kind of the same upbringing, except for the Word is missing. And you're like, my God, what happened to them? Is it just me? Has anybody else experienced that? The word will keep you. The word will absolutely preserve you. Let's look at some other translations of Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. This is the Amplified. It says, my son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Man, that's our part. Are you willing? Our part is to be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing and health to all their flesh. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the spring of life. There's nothing more valuable than you and I protecting the soil of our heart. It doesn't matter what somebody does, don't let it get into your heart. You will have opportunities to be offended. You'll have opportunities to hold grudges. You'll have opportunities, don't take them. The soil of your heart is way too valuable. Look at the New Living Translation, it says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." You mean to tell me the words I hear can bring healing to my whole body? Absolutely. Your maker said so. Your identity is manufactured in your heart. Guard your heart and protect your identity and protect the new you. Your self-talk is driving you to a destination. Family, please don't miss this point. Your self-talk is always doing something. Your self-talk is driving you to a destination, whether you want to go there or not. We have to be mindful for the words that we release out of our mouths. Because if the enemy of your soul can get you to speak what he says, he begins to drive. He begins to take you to a destination that is not of God. Don't miss that. That is not a small matter. That is not a little thing. When people joke and say things like, "My head is killing me," I cringe. "These kids are going to be the death of me. Man, I am sick and tired of blank." Does anybody want to be sick and tired? Would anybody volunteer for that gig? Don't let that come out of your mouth, because it's not a small matter. The devil would love for you to think it is, because it gives him a segue into driving. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Listen to this. Doubt comes from not hearing the word of God. Faith rises when you and I spend quality time in the word. And when we don't, doubt rises. And the ultimate goal of doubt is to get you trapped into unbelief. You and I will not be revived if we allow unbelief to creep in. Jesus was slowed down once in his earthly ministry, and that was because of what? Unbelief. When you and I partner with unbelief, we partner with the enemy's plan. Because we tell Jesus he can't handle this one. Family, whatever you do, make a decision. You're going forward and nowhere else. What's in front of you is God's plan. Every time you talk, you're prophesying to yourself. Doubt is the conduit for unbelief. And the devil wants to sow doubt into you because he knows if he can get you to agree with him, he can gain access to your identity. Look at your neighbor and say, "Protect your identity." The seed of doubt grows into unbelief. And when we add the power of our words to it, we throw it into overdrive. Instead, plant seeds of faith, hope, and love. You're not striving for victory, you're protecting it. The victory has been bought and paid for. We were at a conference, and one of the speakers, 88 years old, battling on stage in pain. And every time he got up, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." I thought, man, what a powerful example. He could have said, "You guys got it. Hey, I'm gonna stay home today." But he countered what his body was saying. He spoke the word over himself. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I remember being in church. We grew up in a Baptist church, and one of the deacons looked me right in the eyes, because I got into trouble. I didn't listen very well. And one of the deacons looked me in the eyes and said, "You will never see the age of 21. And the statement wasn't crazy because my peers weren't making it to 21. But when he said that, something inside of me just rose up. I don't know if it was righteous indignation or what, but I made a decision to prove him wrong. Don't you dare let anybody speak death over you. Harm or lack, fear or unbelief. You counter, whether you say it right out loud right then or deep on the inside of yourself, you make sure you counter that mess. Because you believe you faster than you believe anybody else. You're not striving for victory. You're protecting it. That's a different perspective, true or not true. That's different. You're not going up the hill striving for victory. You're standing on top of the hill fending off the lions, the lies of the devil. Kicking the devil off as he tries to come in. How do we protect our identity? How do we hold fast to our new selves? We come under God's mission. And we do that intentionally. Let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 7. Cooperate with God's plan and stay true to the new you. Where are you guys going? James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Therefore, submit to God." It's on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Listen to me. Don't get caught up in resisting the devil. You spend your time and energy submitting to God. Don't skip that step. You don't ever have to fight the devil when you submit to God. I said more than you heard. If you submit to God, you will never, give me two people. If you submit to God, you will never have to resist the devil. If Josiah's here, and he is God, and Maurice decides to submit to him. If he submitted to him, I got to get through God to get to him. And guess what? That ain't ever going to happen. Not submitting to God leaves Maurice, come right here, vulnerable. This is when he's trying to resist. I'm fighting the devil. I'm getting the devil off my back. This is when he's involved. He's doing it. But the moment he submits to God, this is the battle. That makes sense? You guys see that? You see that analogy? Don't waste your time and energy resisting the devil. Just submit to God. Thank you, men of God. Just submit to God. Grab hold of that truth. Not submitting to God means not resisting. If you don't resist the battle, you lose automatically. You know, submitting to God is never meant to hurt you, never meant to steal from you, never meant to make you less. Every time you and I submit to God, we accelerate in the things of God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 6. Where y'all going? "Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed where? In his heart. That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Now, this is so valuable because in the midst of the environment that Daniel was put in, they gave him another name. But because he purposed in his heart, his identity never changed. Daniel means, and back in the day, your name was who you were. They didn't just, you know, Shaquita. They didn't just come up with stuff. They didn't just put stuff together. They thought about what the, I hope there's no Shaquitas in the house. Oh, no Shaquitas, listen. if not, respectfully. The names meant something back in the day. Daniel meant God is my judge. Hananiah meant Yahweh is gracious. Mishael meant who is like God. Azariah meant Yah has helped. By the king's decree, they were assigned Chaldean names so that Hananiah became Shadrach, Mishael became Meshach, and Azariah became Abednego. Why is this important? Because the king wanted their identities. The king did not want them attached to Jehovah. The king wanted them to be attached to the Babylonian gods. Listen to what these names meant that they were changed into. Belteshazzar meant prince of the king or protector of the king. Shadrach meant command of the moon god. Meshach means who is like the moon god. And Abednego meant servant of Nego. If the king could change their names and get them start answering to what God didn't name them, he could get their identity. But what did Daniel do? Purpose in his heart. I'm not going to answer to nothing that God didn't name me. You know that the enemy is up to the same tricks right now? He's trying to name you unaccepted. He's trying to name you unlovable, addicted. He's trying to name you something other than what God has named you. You are God's beloved. That's what you answer to. That's who you are. That is your new you. You hold fast to. You hold fast to that. It was a good plan because Satan's been doing it for centuries. In the third grade, he told me I would never amount to nothing. Word curses spoken at a young age. You're never going to amount to nothing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus saw fit to die for me on the cross because that's how much he loved me. How valuable are you? Jesus looked at you and made a choice to die for you because you are valuable. He loves you so much, he did something about it. He did the best he could possibly do. Paid the highest price that will ever be paid for anything for you. If Satan can convince people to hear his voice, embrace his lifestyle, and become loyal to what he calls them, he can begin to chip away at their identity. Say, not me. The king knew the power of identity. The boys' names were changed to steal their identity, to move them away from who God said they were. However, the boys guarded their hearts. What a lesson for you and I. They stayed true to what God, who God said they were. What a lesson. Well, you and I can stay true to who God calls us and nothing else. See, some of those people calling you out of your name are in your bloodline. There's some family calling you out of your name. I'm not guessing. Stay true to the new you. I remember growing up and saying stuff like, man, you better stop pushing. I'm gonna backslide all over you. You better back up. The king was wise. But they already purposed in their heart. It was too late. They already purposed in their heart. So here's my ask of all of us. Purpose in your heart. Right now. Purpose in your heart. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. How do we apply this? How do we stay true to us? Number one says what? Live in him. Live in him. Great proof text that has Acts chapter 17, verse 28. You know, if you weren't here when Terrell made the announcement about the women's Bible study starting tomorrow at 6:30, do whatever you can do to get there. I'm studying now, preparing to do a series on Acts and family. Acts, if you've never read the whole book of Acts, to study it out, it will absolutely change your life. You know, the interesting thing is, I've been preparing to teach that series. I didn't know that was the book that they were getting ready to jump into. So, not a coincidence. So if you were not planning on tuning in on Zoom, get the information and check out that Bible study, because it will be revelation. Acts 17, 28 says, "For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children." 2 Corinthians 13, 4, and the Amplified says, "For even though he was crucified in weakness, yielding himself, yet he lives resurrected by the power of God, his Father, for we too are weak in him. As he was humanly weak, yet we are alive and well in fellowship with him, because the power of God directed toward you." What's number two say? Embrace your born again nature. You have been pre-wired to overcome the world. You have been pre-wired to overcome the world. Listen to this. Your DNA now includes deity. When you think you can't make it, you are believing a lie. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Raise your hand if you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You have been pre-wired to overcome the world. Number three. Live life forward. Listen to, please get this in your heart. Where you're going is not as important, or where you're from is not as important as where you're going. What you did is not what God has his eye on. Number four. Refuse to compromise. Purpose in your heart. purpose in your heart. I am who God says I am. You purpose that in your heart. You lock that in. Let the word of God define you. God is looking for surrendered vessels. When you surrender who you are to Him, He will do more with you, through you, than you can ever imagine. Number five. Was that five? Oh, that was four, huh? Gotcha. Y'all messing me up. Believe God. The grace of God cannot benefit us without belief. The grace of God is there, available, but it requires you and I grabbing hold of it, believing it. Romans 8, 1 and 2 is the proof text to that statement. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are always two laws in operation. The sin and death and the Spirit of life. Life is always available for you and I. And at any moment, we can grab hold of that. Make that decision. The law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The key that unlocks the law, the Spirit of life is belief. Flip side, the key that unlocks the law of sin and death is unbelief. Number six. Choose forgiveness. That's a big one. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. Last one. What's it say? Follow Jesus. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord, not just your Savior, you're not following Him. No Lord is an oxymoron. When Jesus is your Lord, you are stuck on what next? What do you want me to do? Okay, I don't want to do that, but okay. Lord, I don't feel like it, but okay. Yes, Lord. That makes all the difference.